The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus.
The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for tuning in for today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue looking at the life in the millennium. Today's program is titled Millennium Judgment. So stay tuned. And those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord, we just celebrate, Lord, your victory in the millennial kingdom. And Lord, as tonight we get into a challenging subject about final judgment, we pray that you'll open up your word so we may understand your will better, understand you better, and just rejoice in your name. I thank you for all who have tuned in. And Lord, we just pray that we'll get into this and you'll bless us in the studies. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth to Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our program for today is Millennium Judgment. So get your Bibles ready to follow along with us. But before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, it's great to be back on the mic.
Yes, brother. It's always good to be here every week with you on the mic. It's one of the highlights of my week. So thank you, brother.
The same here, Nathan. Very excited. Well, Nathan, I know you guys also have been very busy there at the ministry in Texas on the other side. I'm in the Daytona Beach side. And this week, for anybody maybe that's not familiar, you guys have quite a program going on, programming, and also additional resources for our listeners. Will you be able to share with them, Nate, how they can get a hold of those resources? Maybe someone is new to the program?
Oh, sure. Well, you've tuned into the podcast, The Truth Will Set You Free. It's a podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Like Vic said, we've busy with so many teachings because we're a media ministry, and so we use primarily our television program, Christ in Prophecy, to reach out on all the networks and online. We've just this year gone back into radio, and Vic, what an answer to the prayer. The Lord has given us through four networks, 1,000 stations to start off our new program, Christ in Prophecy Radio. So praise the Lord there. Of course, our internet, christinprophecy.org is 24/7, as well as our Lamb Lion app. And so we just invite you to download the app or check us out on christinprophecy.org. We have a wealth of information to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you, Nathan, for sharing that. And that is so exciting, all the amazing resources so people can grow in their relationship with the Lord. And that's what it's all about, Nathan. That's why you and I get excited to be able to do this program, because it brings these resources to people's hearts and minds. And we get some wonderful feedback from people when they get blessed. One of those resources, Nate, is the book that you and I wrote, The Mighty Angels of Revelation. And you were just teaching through that 12-week course. And you told me people were excited about that.
You know, it's just such a blessing because so many people say, well, I've never approached studying the book of Revelation from the angels' perspective, because Vic found that there's 72 angels or groups of angels found in the book of Revelation. Earlier years on this podcast, we went through the book of Revelation verse by verse, and then I went ahead and blogged it. And I thought, well, you know, this would make for a great book. So Vic and I put it together, and I got to say, The Mighty Angels of Revelation has turned out fantastic. I just was able to share it with across 12 classes at our church here in the McKinney, Texas area, and got good reviews. So I, you know, it's not Vic and I that made it awesome. It was the Lord and Shalise Stevens who contributed artwork to it, illustrations of different angels. And so if folks are interested in checking this book out, they go to our website at christinprophecy.org or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you name it. We just got it out there. We're trying to help people dive deeper into the book of Revelation. And today, Vic, you and I, we're going to get back into the book of Revelation, but for a different purpose, right? Not to go through Revelation per se, but to address the Lord's kingdom, the millennial kingdom, right?
Oh, Nathan, and that is very exciting. You and I have done a number of programs after we finished teaching through the book of Ezekiel. We were so excited about that millennium that we said, hey, you know, a lot of people really don't know much of the details in the millennium. why don't we take some time to talk about the life in the millennium, how things are going to develop, what that's going to look like. So we've been doing a bunch of series on that. And today we're going to continue talking about a very important subject matter having to do with the millennium judgment. But prior to that, in a prior program, Nathan, you and I talked about that in the time of the millennium, there will be Satan will be bound. And that's going to take place at the end of the millennium. And sometimes people are surprised by that, Nathan. It's like, well, why would God do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's when Jesus Christ returns after a seven-year tribulation time period where God pours 21 judgments upon the world to punish the world for its sins, but also to bring people down to their knees to repent and return to him. Jesus comes back and he defeats what will become a one world ruler called the Antichrist and his armies. The world will be on the brink of extinction, the Bible teaches. But when Jesus comes back, he defeats his enemies and he takes Satan and he binds him in a pit and he sends him there for 1,000 years. So we know that Christ's kingdom on this earth will be eternal, but it has the first phase of it is 1,000 years. And so for that 1,000-year reign, as Jesus rules and reigns on in this earth, Satan will be bound. His demons are likely already sent to hell. So there's no demonic influence whatsoever on this earth during the kingdom.
Nathan, great word. And that's why we want individuals to recognize how this flows as we actually look at Revelation and see how things begin to wrap up. There in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, as we speak about the final judgment, the Bible says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Nathan, that is pretty heavy-duty stuff when you really look at it.
Yeah, because at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan's binding, he's released, and he goes out and starts deceiving those born during the millennial kingdom, the children of the tribulation saints who survive the tribulation. And like always, humanity gets a choice to choose the Lord or not, and many, and sadly, will reject Jesus and rally to Satan. God then sends fire down and consumes them, so it's real quick. Satan is then thrown in the lake of fire, and that's where we enter this, what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. It means the millennial kingdom is over, but the eternal state hasn't begun yet. There's a gap in time, and we don't know what the time is because it says earth and sky fled before him. We don't know where this Great White Throne Judgment's going to be. It seems to neither be on earth or in heaven. We don't know how long it's going to be because God's going to resurrect all those who are in what's called Hades or in Bible torments or Sheol. It's a holding place for the damned. All those who rejected Jesus Christ and who had not reached out to God in faith are sent there like a prison, a holding place to wait for this great white throne judgment where then they are resurrected. So it's also called the resurrection of the unredeemed. Those who've rejected God's offer of salvation will be brought up from Hades and they will be judged.
Nathan, and this is an amazing passage because a lot of people wonder, well, what is this all about? When is this going to take place? And here clearly the Bible tells us it's after that 1,000 years. Nathan, on the book that you and I wrote, I was going to make a reference to there, page 365, looking at the mighty angels of Revelation. And we want to encourage you, if you're listening to this program, if you're tuned in, we would encourage you to consider getting a copy of the book that Nathan and myself wrote, because it is eye-opening in terms of more details regarding this great white throne judgment. Nathan, one of the things that I like here that you drew out in terms of the thrones is on page 365, where it says, of the 30 references to thrones in the book of Revelation, this throne remains unique. This great white throne is the seat of final judgment, and it resides neither on earth nor in heaven. For this throne is judge's bench, and on it will sit the Father himself, robed and ready to judge. With Satan at his feet and sentenced to hell, we have reached that long prophesied time when God will judge those people who had in life rejected him upon death, had been sent to the prison called torment in Hades. Life in prison in Hades was now over, and the time had come for the fatherless to be resurrected from the dead in this second resurrection. Again, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades deliver up the dead who were in them. So Nathan, this is an amazing passage, because here, everyone who has turned their back on God, who has rejected God, that time of judgment is going to come, but this is not for believers, it's for unbelievers.
Excellent point. Yes, the judgment for the church age saints, in other words, if you're saved between Pentecost to the rapture, happens during the tribulation up in heaven, and it's called the judgment of the just. It's a judgment not based on salvation, because we're already in heaven and Jesus is his blood covers our sins and we're made pure and holy before the Father, and we're given a rewards for the work that the Holy Spirit did through us in life. That is, again, that's a judgment for believers. The great white throne judgment is for all who've rejected God. So no matter what you've done, and no matter what religion or faith or whatever you believe in, at some point you will end up at the great white throne judgment, either as an unbeliever under judgment or as a believer there to be a witness.
Nathan, that is fantastic. You know, when we consider that, sometimes people get fearful, they get confused, especially when they're reading this portion of scriptures. But we want to make it clear that if you trust in Jesus Christ, you are going to be rewarded. And we are going to be, in a sense, judged not upon the rejection of Christ, but we're going to get rewarded for what we have done for Christ. And according to our faithfulness here on earth, the Bible promises that God is going to reward us. Nathan, it reminds you of the Church of Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, where the closing there speaks about those amazing rewards and what people's names will be in the book of life. It says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Nathan, to the believer, our names are going to be inscribed in the book of life, and we won't have to fear the judgment as those who have rejected Christ.
Absolutely. And so these books that we're talking about here, is there's two books really that we know of, because it says books plural. There's the book of life, and anyone who was ever born is in the book of life. So that should be all of humanity. But there's another book which the Bible teaches called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book is listed everybody who's saved. So now when the time comes for the people to be judged, and the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So likely those who've died at the end of the millennial kingdom will be judged first, and then it will go all the way back in time. Probably the last person to be judged at the great white throne judgment, I imagine, is Cain, the one who killed his brother Abel. Assuming Adam and Eve, of course, are going to be in heaven, and I think they will. And so what you've got here is this judgment of the unjust. They find that their names are written in the book of life, but they're not in the Lamb's book of life. And because they don't have the only work that matters, the saving work of Jesus on the cross, they will indeed be punished and sent to what's called the lake of fire. It's a final destination. It's like a burning lake. And you know, you look at stars, for instance. Stars are burning lakes of plasma energy. And so who knows, maybe this lake of fire is like these people are cast into a star. The Bible doesn't say, but it's like being cast into a star. Hey man, if you're living life and you're like, I want God just to leave me alone, I want to be separate from him, God obliges, but God is also the source of life. So it's like being a branch cut off from a tree. It's going to wither and die. And when we're separated from God, we wither and die. And that's why the Bible calls the lake of fire the second death.
Nathan, and that, you know, I hope that individuals are making note of what we're saying, especially if someone hasn't trusted in Christ. This is a very serious matter. And of course, we do this program every week pleading people to come to Christ while there is still time. So no one will have to endure this awful place that the Bible here is describing for us. Because you see, if you turn to God, amazing things God has in store for your life, amazing rewards as you serve and as you come to Him. And we as believers are going to receive rewards that we will be able to cast at the Lord's feet crowns, the Bible says. Nathan, I was reading an article this week by David Jeremiah having to do with rewards and also some of the rewards that we will receive, and it's found in David Jeremiah's blog. They were davidjeremiah.blog, and he speaks about what kind of rewards will believers receive in heaven. And I want people to consider some of the things, Nathan, that God has in store for them. As David Jeremiah speaks about five different crowns, and he puts it this way: the judgment seat of Christ is not the final exam to determine our suitability for heaven. If we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sins have been forgiven, and that is what qualifies us to enter the holy presence of God in heaven. As the Apostle Paul states, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8:1. Our sins, past, present, and future, were all paid for on Calvary's cross. And he adds, Nate, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our faithfulness service to Him will be evaluated and rewarded. With perfect knowledge, He will assess our every thought, motive, and action. The prospect of this coming judgment should be motivate us to be more like Christ in our daily life, running our spiritual race towards His heavenly rewards. And David Jeremiah, Nate, says five crowns of reward in heaven. Number one, the victor's crown, according to 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through 37. The second crown will be the crown of rejoicing, according to 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The third crown, the crown of righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, and the crown of life, according to James chapter 1, verses 12, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, and the crown of glory, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And Nathan, these are the things that we encourage people to seek after when they come to the Lord. This is what awaits the believers, not the things that we talked about that await the unbelievers.
Absolutely. I mean, heaven is actual fellowship with Lord. It's an heirship. We're sons and daughters of God, and that was achieved by Jesus' death on the cross and His beating death by resurrecting from the dead. That's what an inheritance. To when God says that we inherit all things because He owns all things, He's true to that. We inherit all things. Yes, we'll have different crowns which represent the works we did on this earth. We'll get new names written on marble stones. We'll have new robes. We'll get to live in this new Jerusalem, the super city that God's going to put on a new earth. We're going to have fellowship with the Lord. There'll be no crying or tears or sorrow or pain or death. That's the future for the believer in Jesus. But contrast that to what we're reading here in the Great White Throne Judgment. If you die in unbelief, you get sent to a prison, a horrible place. You wait 1,000 years plus to be resurrected. You're judged for your works. You're missing the only work that matters. And then you're sent to the lake of fire to be consumed forever. I mean, what a difference. And I don't think that people in this life understand how vitally, there's nothing more important than making a decision for Christ or not. Your eternal life is at stake.
And Nathan, and that's why we took time to share with people the reality of the millennium, how joyful, what a beautiful thing it is. But yet, it pales to comparison in terms of heaven forever with the Lord. And that's why our call to you is urgently to come to Christ while there is still time. God loves you and has a great plan for your life. And Nathan, one of the things too that we found as we've been teaching through the Word of God, and especially about the millennium, that there seems to be different views when it comes to the millennium. And some of these views are not really very promising when it comes to the millennium, unlike what you and I have just described to people. And our view, of course, we believe in a literal millennium. We believe, according to the word of God, that these things are so. But there are others out there that hold different views that are different than ours.
And it really depends on how you interpret the Bible. There are those who take a literal approach. In other words, if the plain sense makes sense, look for no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. And that's the camp that we here at Lamb and Lion Ministries fall in. And so you'll end up taking a premillennial view, a view that the tribulation happens before a literal thousand-year kingdom where Jesus rules and reigns on this earth. A literal interpretation of the Bible will lead you to that. But then there's those who interpret the Bible spiritually, and they just add whatever meaning they want to whatever they read. And so you get what's called amillennialism, meaning no millennium. They assume that right now, Vic, we're living in the millennium and the tribulation at the same time. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Or you get what's called postmillennialism, this idea that the church is going to eventually take over the earth and will rule in this golden age for a thousand years. And then Jesus comes and the church hands Jesus the kingdom, which is absolute nonsense. We're not seeing the church at all take over the world. So to me, a literal interpretation of the Bible, I believe it's got to be the way we interpret the Bible, because that's how it's meant to be interpreted, not by our own meanings that we superimpose on it, like with amillennialism, but the meaning that God intends through his scripture.
Nathan, I love that. And that's also another reason why we took some time to talk about the millennium, the life in the millennium. Again, like you're saying, some people take that historical premillennial point of view, a dispensational modern premillennialist, and they have a different concepts of their ideas, but we look at it from a literal sense, because that's what's encouraging, is that when you read the Bible and you read these things, this is a reality. This is not fiction. This is what awaits the believers, but it also speaks very clearly what awaits the unbelievers. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Nathan, they want you to think that this is heaven on earth right now, and they push their magazines everywhere from the watchtower, and people are under this illusion that when they die, it's going to be living in paradise. But yeah, from what you and I have just described in the Word of God, there's two different realities. There's a real reality for the believer where they're headed, but there's also a real reality for the unbelievers who does not trust in Jesus Christ. And we encourage those of you that are listening to our program, take the literal approach according to the Word of God. That's where we find refuge, and that's where we find encouragement, and is in the hands of Jesus. Nate, maybe there's someone out there who really had not thought about this, but now as we have described to them the reality of the white throne judgment and what's coming, they're considering that relationship with Jesus Christ. And how would you, Nathan, guide that person to enter into a relationship with Christ while there is still time, while they're still hearing our voice right now?
Well, you got to understand who Christ is. And so we get to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 28. The great white throne judgment is over. All those who rejected Jesus and haven't reproached God in faith are sent to the lake of fire. And this is how it reads. It's wonderful. It's one of the best passages in the entire Bible. So then comes the end when he, Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to the all rule, in all authority and all power, for he, God, must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him, the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You know, this time period that we're living in is filled with great evil, but we're promised here in the Bible that at some point in the future, Jesus Christ will defeat evil. He will hand the kingdom to the Father, and everything will be back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, where the whole universe is back under the subject of God the Father, a benevolent, loving Father, our Creator, who made us and who sacrificed his own Son on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven. That's the kind of God we had, not the sadistic Allah of Mohammedism, or like you said, the paradise promising of the cults without any kind of salvation. No, we have Jesus Christ's work on the cross. He gave it all so that we might be saved. And so knowing that, we reach out in faith to Jesus and pray, something like, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And Jesus promises that your sins will be forgiven, the guilt will be washed away, and you will inherit eternal life forever.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nathan, for sharing that amazing gift. And if you receive that gift by faith, wherever you are, maybe you prayed along and you open your heart to Christ, we want to rejoice with you because God has granted you eternal life. The Holy Spirit has moved position from being alongside of you to being inside of you as you took that step of faith. And we will be encouraged to hear from you. If that's you, if you made that decision, you can reach out to us at 305-992-9527. You can write to us at webminister@lamblion.com and reach Nathan. And we would love to give you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can grow in your relationship with God. And we celebrate that wonderful decision. We also encourage you, find a good Bible teaching church, especially one that will teach you Bible prophecy. Let the pastor know you accepted the Lord, get baptized, and start to serve the Lord because the Lord is coming back very, very soon. And Nathan, that's why we get so excited because we believe we've seen signs of the times and we believe the Lord can return at any moment.
Right. I mean, Jesus promised three times in Revelation 22, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. And then he makes it an ironclad promise. It's his testimony as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. He will return. And he gave us signs of the end times to point to that soon return. And we know that's it's coming in maybe not in our lifetimes, but certainly in our era. The signs of the times are raging all over the place. And signs are another topic that Vic and I have discussed and we'll discuss again in the future. But what it points to is the fact that if Jesus is returning, you got to ask yourself, are you a citizen of the kingdom of Christ? And how do you become a citizen? You put your faith and trust in Jesus and make him the Savior and Lord of your life.
Woo, praise the Lord. Nathan, what a wonderful way to close our segment of this program as we ran out of time for this segment of the program. We thank you all for tuning into our program today and being part of this amazing teaching that we call the Life in the Millennium Life. From Nathan and myself, we thank you for being part of our program. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a great week.
Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.